This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Almost every area, every town, every city has its local legends, its lore, its stories of dark, desolate areas where disturbing acts occurred that can't quite be confirmed, but passed down from generation to generation, they always seem to just get a little bit worse with each passing mouth. But where do those stories start? Is there ever any sort of factual evidence to their existence? In some cases, yes. In some cases, no. Could sometimes just the creative minds of some nefarious teenagers actually create something dark, something disturbing, something that could actually cause harm or haunt a location that never had those tragic events actually occur on them? The mere suggestion and retelling of the stories from generation to generation, can that create a haunting? That's what we ask in our next story. Take a listen. Growing up in a Christian household, I knew the battle between good and evil existed in our world, whether we saw it or not. Going to church and Sunday school every week, I was taught about the Word of God and how He wanted us to live to get into heaven. But in Sunday school, I was never taught that my faith would make me a target for several demonic spirits that would eventually attack me and my family. For 3 years of my childhood, what started as an evil spirit attaching itself to me eventually culminated into two separate events. The first event is a situation I won't be including in this story, for I'd have to cram it. I'll try to make the retelling of my story as quickly as I can, but the basic gist of the first event was a situation where the entity that followed me everywhere ended up physically attacking several of my classmates at my friend's birthday party. The second event being at my church, where my sister was maliciously attacked by an unseen force, and she was pinned to the floor by members of our church as they prayed over her in a large group. That I will explain, for it ended a series of intense spiritual battles that overtook my family's life. In 2014, my family, along with 11-year-old me, resided in Tucson, Arizona. For a job opportunity, my father was given to start a new business. Our original home being in Colorado, where I was born and raised, we needed a scene change in our lives, so we left the Rocky Mountains and landed in the desert. Never got used to the number of cacti I saw everywhere I turned. Come spring break, my family took a trip to Avondale, Colorado, to visit my cousins. The house my cousin stayed in was quite literally in the middle of nowhere, surrounded by nothing but open fields and corn stalks. The nearest neighboring house was half a mile down the dirt road, as if my cousin's house wasn't creepy enough. It was so far out in the country that nighttime was especially dark. I always remembered having an uneasy feeling about the property itself. Don't get me wrong, it's a beautiful house, not to mention its huge size. It had two floors, including a basement, a modern layout with a cement exterior. The house was so big and so isolated, you'd be able to see the house driving several miles away. My cousins were the only family to have lived on the property, so any possibility of deaths on the land was out of the question, so I thought. The house my cousins lived in had no conceptual reasoning to be as creepy as it was. It wasn't until one night my cousins and I were about to go to bed. My cousin Savannah told me about why she didn't like sleeping in her room at night. Every few nights, she'd see a little girl standing on the edge of her bed, staring at her. Just the thought of that scared the shit out of me, and I couldn't blame her for not wanting to sleep in her room. As a matter of fact, Savannah had taken the opportunity to sleep in the living room while we were visiting. Me, Savannah, and her friend Taylor huddled up in the living room and treated it as a fun little sleepover. When Savannah told us she was seeing the little girl, we ended up staying on the topic of scary stories. This was when Taylor told the story of Corner Road, a story that would soon become very personal to my life. Corner Road is an actual road that sat about 10 minutes away from the house, and where legend spreads that a man went crazy in the house he lived in with his family. The old man savagely murdered his wife, son, and daughter, and skinned the family dog. The old man was so out of his mind, he hung his daughter's body on a tree branch that hangs over Corner Road so everyone who drove past could see it. In a fit of rage, the old man lit his house on fire, and now all that remains on the property is the outline of the destroyed walls and a basement. Taylor and Savannah told me they had both gone to the property at some point and confirmed that all that's left standing are the remains of the fire that burned the house down. At some point, I asked if anything had happened to them when they went to the property, and they responded with a list of things that people they knew had experienced in the past when they went. Things like seeing the little girl in the pink dress hanging in the tree her father tied her to, or seeing the family's white dog chasing you away from the property. But the worst one for me was seeing the tall man in a black cloak that showed itself to the people that visited and continued to haunt them in the future. But knowing these were just stories to freak me out, local legends, I eventually passed it off as campfire stories and didn't take them too seriously. Who would? Eventually, we stopped freaking each other out and fell asleep. Savannah and Taylor slept on the only two couches in the living room, leaving me to sleep on the carpet floor with a blanket and pillow in front of the couch Savannah was laying on. Around 12 in the morning, I had woken up from a heavy sleep. Everyone else was sleeping as well. Savannah snoring, Taylor stretched out across the couch in a way that's sure to give her back problems when she wakes up in the morning. I sat up from the floor and peered into the kitchen to look at the time on the oven. Sure enough, it was only a few minutes past 12. I looked around at the house as I sat on the floor wide awake. The weirdest part is that I didn't even feel uneasy or that someone was watching me. It wasn't until I looked towards the foyer that I saw him standing there. My heart sank to my stomach as my brain connected the dots. Standing in the center of the foyer, in front of the main entrance, was the figure of the tallest man I've ever seen in my life, abnormally tall. He was so tall, he was hunching over and stared directly at the floor. I wasn't able to see his facial features as he continued to stare at the ground. I even contemplated if my mind was making up what I was seeing. But the more I stared at him, the more real he became. His entire body was covered in black, with a hood that sagged over his head almost as if he was the perfect embodiment of the Grim Reaper. His clothing made him look almost cartoonish, with his hands at his side as he continued to stare directly at the floor. When it became clear that's what I was staring at, a coldness flowed through with a sensation as if the blood in my veins had turned to ice. I quickly tucked my head under the covers, hoping that whatever it was standing there didn't notice I saw it. But it became clear that it was an attack towards me. The voice of a man spoke through the blanket and into my ears as if his lips were speaking directly above my head. Speaking in a language that sounded like gibberish, I couldn't understand what he was saying. But I knew in my heart that his intent was to hurt me. I could feel it. It took strength out of me to snap out of it and scream for Savannah to wake up. Several times I screamed for her, each time getting louder and more urgent. By the third time I shouted, the voice above me had stopped and I heard Savannah's groggy voice asking what I needed. I quickly hopped onto the couch beside her and cried as I told her and Taylor what had just happened and what I'd just seen. I didn't leave the couch for the whole night. Didn't even go back to sleep. I sat in shock and fear, watching television, waiting for the sun to come up. I never experienced anything supernatural again until we'd gone back to Arizona. To sum up the next few months of my life, I began needing to have white noise playing while I went to sleep, or I'd hear the voice of the tall man calling my name repeatedly. I also slept with my closet light on. because I feared being surrounded by complete darkness in the circumstance. I saw the tall man again. The worst nights were when I'd wake up and feel my bed mattress vibrating and breathing. For years, the entity continued to make its presence known, not only at night, but even throughout the day. Daytime was when I'd noticed shadow figures running around my house. I had confirmation that I wasn't just making it up because my dog Harley, who stuck by my side, would react to what I was seeing, either by growling at the figures or following them where they'd run off to. Flash forward about a year later, my mom and dad had decided to get a divorce. My mom took me and my sister Jessica back to Colorado, where all our family resided. This time, we moved to Colorado Springs and stayed with a family friend until we had enough money to get a place for us of our own. By this point, my sister had been tested and diagnosed with PNES, post-non-epileptic seizures, a mental illness that the spirits that followed me would soon take advantage of and target my sister. Being extremely financially unstable, not knowing if we would find a place to live while battling my father in court for the custody over me and Jessica, my mother had a lot on her plate, and that was the perfect opportunity for the entity to strike. What started out as convulsions, Jessica's seizures soon turned violent. When Jessica had an episode, she began screaming for help and crying in agony. There was pain on her face. Jessica would explain to our mother that during these episodes, she would see several shadow figures surrounding her, holding her down, whispering horrendous words that threatened her. Jessica was being oppressed by several demonic spirits, and her mental health took a toll. At age of 16, Jessica had attempted suicide more than once, and her doctor was convinced she was showing signs of schizophrenia. She was eventually sent to several different psychiatric hospitals throughout the next few months. A short amount of time, we'd have Jessica home with us. We would attempt to go to church every Sunday, but as expected, Jessica's episodes had become more intense and violent than ever. Her episodes got so bad, we would need to leave halfway through the service. My mom, desperate for help, would cry on the way back home. The grace of going to church had been stripped from us. My sister was persistent to try to return to church as much as she could, but the day that all hell broke loose was when Jessica stayed for an entire service. When the service had ended, Jessica almost immediately collapsed to the floor and slipped into another episode. A member of our church and close family friend, Wayne, had quickly run to Jessica onto the floor to help her. Wayne wasn't prepared when an unseen force had attacked my sister as she lied in his arms. Jessica screamed the most painful and blood-curdling scream I'd ever heard, a scream that I will never, ever forget. She was sobbing for someone to help her. The attention of a group of church members quickly rushed over to Jessica and saw what was happening. It didn't take them long to surround Jessica like a swarm of bees, place their hands on her, and pray in a powerful way I've never seen before. Several church members began speaking in tongues, holding her to the floor as Jessica wailed and struggled to push them off. This episode continued for at least 10 minutes before Jessica had become unconscious and lied limp in Wayne's arms. A few minutes more of praying went by and Jessica had finally regained consciousness. She cried about what had happened. She was embarrassed, but most of all, she was crying tears of joy that their prayer had stopped the attack on her. It was the last time Jessica's seizures were like that. She still has seizures to this day, but they've transitioned back to convulsions she had when they first started, and eventually, so did the experiences that pursued me on that night. It wasn't until recently when I was talking to my mother about my experiences as a child when I realized that they had stopped the day of Jessica's last episode in the church. That's when I knew it was important for me to tell this story. For people to understand that evil in this world exists and how serious of an issue it is. Over the last few years, I've researched as much as I could to gain an understanding of the events that occurred in my life. Stumbled upon the Corner Road story several times in articles. The legend stays the same, but with more research, I found out that the real story of what happened on Corner Road, the tale everyone hears now, was made during the era of the satanic panic of the 1970s and 80s. A man who actually knew the family on Corner Road personally made a statement that the old man and his wife died in the house due to natural causes in the 60s. Their children are alive and well to this day. The rumors and stories of an old man killing his family led to trespassers on the property, where they'd conjure up the spirits of what they thought was the family that died there. When this caught wind, the house was set on fire and destroyed to stop people from sneaking onto the property, the things they were doing there. Finding this information has only made me wearier of what haunts the property on Corner Road. I've never even been on the property before, but whatever it was we gave recognition to the night I saw the tall man followed and traumatized me for 3 years of my life. Whether it is what haunts the actual property or not, the entity manifested itself as the idea created in the minds of naive kids. We invited something we could not handle, and then its message the world needed to hear.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Want a commercial-free experience of the show with access to the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories? Sign up at Apple Podcasts right now and try it for 3 days free. Ghostpodcast.com or Patreon.com/Real Ghost Stories.